Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Rivian began its trading after a massive IPO at the Nasdaq last week, but the electric car maker hardly sold any cars yet. Too much fantasy or a bright future? This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Today, he's in Texas, in Houston, Texas, and Salah Eddine Boumidi, the head of markets at IG. Guys, so good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be with you guys.
Peter, it was a massive IPO, but Rivian hardly sold any cars yet. What do you think? What's your feeling about this huge IPO?
So, you know, look, I think it's incredibly exciting. I think the market response was quite good. And, you know, look, we've seen many, many companies come to market, come to IPO before they've actually have any sales, right? There were companies like that all across the board. We've seen it before. So that's not necessarily the question. It's a matter of the marketing and the hype behind it, right? We just came out of the Glasgow Climate Summit. Obviously, sustainability and electric cars are part of the focus of it. We saw a week that had Mr. Elon Musk in the news. We saw Tesla and Tesla option activity rise to all-time levels as the stock went way wild, up to as high as $1,200 before selling off about $180 in a day. But it's once again coming into back in favor. So let's look. You know, there is the IPO market is telling us that there is a huge appetite by people into the electric space. Number one thing, all of the focus about electric vehicles, Tesla and Elon Musk over the last couple of weeks definitely contributed in a positive way to the story. People like to get exposed when they see something like that, and they all know that they missed the boat on Tesla. Let's just think, a couple of years ago, Tesla was trading at $200. Mr. Musk at that point said the company is overvalued at $200. And if I were you, I'd be selling your stock. Who knew that it would be trading at $1,200 a mere couple of years later, taking into account the wild and crazy world we've been living in for the last couple of years. So all of that, you know, look, also in companies, now I don't know if they are completely pre-revenue, but obviously there was a lot of work done in the roadshow. You know, IPOs are a fascinating entity, right? If the marketing is done right and the sector is done right and all of the you know, it's like a perfect storm in a good way. Everything, all the planets aligned perfectly for this IPO. It was initially priced 55 to 65. The enthusiasm and the oversubscription in the market drove it to 65.75, and it finally got priced the other night at $76. When it finally came to market, and it did go public on the NASDAQ, it's a little more electronic than our market. As you know, I've described in the past that we really spend a lot of time with price discovery, building the building for the IPO. The electronic marketplace as NASDAQ normally does a great job, and they ended up opening the stock almost, I believe, above $100, bringing it to an insane valuation. The enthusiasm continued. The stock continued to go higher that day, and the stock only has a track record of a few days. So if I appreciate Manuel's sense of humor. Look, I am in Texas. Texas is all about horses. I'm not wearing cowboy boots yet, but out of the gate, the horse is doing really well. He's winning the race, but it's a long race. Let's see how it unfolds.
Yeah, he just arrived in Texas and is talking about horses, but we like that. This is the United States of America, right?
That's right.
Very nice. Salah, what's your feeling on the Rivian IPO?
Yeah, Peter made a good point in it. And actually, it's the right time. When is the right time? Never there is a right time. But now the momentum that we have on markets and Tina, there is no alternative. People are going into the stock market, seeking for opportunities, seeking for new possible shares. And now is the momentum where such a company can start. And like you said, even if you don't have any revenues still, there is marketing, there is the demand of the stories and these companies that we are seeking for. And that's why there is, of course, a big demand of people who want to buy this stock. So in the future, we will see what happened fundamentally, of course, but the start seems to be positive.
And let's be clear, ladies and gentlemen, oil is trading at $84 a barrel. right? All eyes are on electric cars, right? For sure.
Salah, you brought us the chart of the week, and it's not the taxers effect, it's the mid-month effect. How's the performance 2021?
Yeah, it's it seems that we have a great performance this year, but maybe explaining first things first, the mid-month effect, which is a really nice, interesting bullish tendency that we can see between the end of 8th trading day and the 11th trading. So going long on the end of the 8th trading day and selling the position, closing the position on the 11th trading day. You can see it here. There's a significant bullish tendency, not only in 2021, also if you go back into history. So what we can see here, NASDAQ already made 11% only by trading 3 days in a month, now till November. And we are right now in the mid-month effect. Today is Monday. We're going to close Wall Street in the evening. And when we do so, we will, of course, calculate our performance also for November. But even S&P 500, Dow Jones, all of three show this bullish tendency. And of course, there are reasons why it should be like this or why there is this tendency. For example, there are huge capital influx in that time, in this period. But we have also other effects. And this is something which is really interesting, even if we are from the technical basis. So we are technical analysts, but I want to find also some good entries in the market. And if we know there is a big capital inflow coming regularly, maybe it's nice to worth think about it like a surfer who's waiting on the wave that, which is coming, and to take it rather than doing nothing and not filtering some really nice observations. This is what we do, combining statistical with technical analysis.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Salah, because if you look at some of the technical trades, we have seen this market do nothing but go up. If you look at the chart of the S&P 500 since March of 2020, it's extraordinary. If you look at the chart of the VIX, the way the spikes up and down all the way up, we've seen a beautiful upward trend. We do see a wave yet to curl, right? Because we've not seen any significant follow through on the downside for almost 2 years now. We've been in the pandemic for 2 years. If you had said to us in January, February of 2020 what we would be experiencing over the last years, we would be blown away. If you said to us that in the eyes of a complete economic shutdown, the market's still engaging the pandemic, supply chains issue, CPI that came out, inflation, cost of living increases that have gone on, who would have thought the market would be trading at record highs? But if you look at the way technicals work on a trend trade, right, we don't buy into the acceleration, into the inflows. We buy on the pullback. So as Salah described, the beginning of a month where you've got pension funds and whatnot putting money back into the market, there's the fear of missing out. People who are underinvested in this market because they were waiting for a pullback that never happened. When it does, if you have market influxes for the first 8 days and that sort of exhausts it, you're going really fast down the highway with your foot pedal to the metal and you sort of step back for a moment and you pause, right? Those are the times when you see pullback to the 9, 15, 65, and 200 EMA on its way up, and then you forge higher. So, you know, we need these start and stops. We need that to build a strong foundation in a rallying bullish market.
Peter, the markets are almost trading on record highs. Is this the Santa Claus rally already? And what do you think about inflation?
Santa Claus clearly seems like he's coming to town. I am not here to predict what will happen. I wish I was psychic, but all I can do is analyze what I see. And what I see is a market that it goes, good news comes out, it goes up. Bad news comes out, it goes up. And no news comes out, it goes up. So the enthusiasm seems to be there. Is it a function of Santa Claus? It's possible. All the things that could have disrupted this bullish market, the inflation story, which has come into play in the past 2 weeks, and I think it's put a little bit of a pause in the upward trend and the rally. The CPI numbers that came out that were the highest we've seen in a long time, consumer price index, we're seeing inflation that is obviously, though some say transitory, seems to be here to stay for the moment. Goods and services are increasing in price. We're seeing oil at a record high year of $83. If anybody on this call is trying to get anything done, whether going to dinner and shopping, whether buying lumber to build a house, whether trying to get things done, order Christmas presents, you're seeing a supply chain issue, a cost of increase that is exorbitant, right? I know for a fact, in my experience, I just had my house painted, and the cost of the paint and the labor to do it was way much higher than it's been in the past. So we're coming out of a pandemic. We are still trying to grease the engines of a supply chain where we're seeing issues of distribution coming from both coasts. And I'm sure it's happening internationally. We're seeing CPI numbers rally to a record high, yet the market continues to go higher. So, you know, it's baffling. I think if you asked a lot of fundamentalists, people who have been in this market for a while, they would go, this can't go on forever. You know, there's always those guys when we have one CPI number come out, or we talk about inflation, or the Federal Reserve talks about taper. Well, they think that now the top of the market has been built in because these are negative issues. Yet the market goes higher on that Fed day we had last week. And we talked that the taper is going to start right away and that we're going to be raising interest rates within a timeline that makes sense. Yet the market went up 350 points. That's unheard of. Those are the key indicators that would normally put a top in a market, right? We're tapering. $120 billion a month being purchased by the government puts a big base and a bid in the marketplace. If you're to pull that down to only $15 billion a month, you would think that would have a negative effect on the market, yet it didn't. So the market is incredibly nimble. It's flexible. We know historically that the markets, given the opportunity, equalize themselves. They figure out a way to get it done. If there's supply chain issues, we figure that out. If the price of inflation goes up, we figure that out also. And over time, as this reopening story comes into play, we're now starting to see the United States has now allowed travel for 33 countries that have been shut down for 2 years. That's going to put a big boost in the airline industry. People are going to start going on vacation. That's going to put a boost in the hospitality industry. People are going to start going back to games and being in public and all of those things. We will equalize. These are all bullish opportunities in the market coming into a year that has seen such a huge rally. So the market tells us what it thinks about all of this.
Peter, we have actually year to date, or last year, Wall Street made almost 30%. This year, we are making almost 30%. Now, let's assume Salah was waiting to step into the markets. He's a beginner. And he said last year, oh, man, no, I'm still Corona. I don't know what will happen. I will stay out of the market. I will maybe step in 2021. Now he was in fear. He was seeing every time new all-time highs. And, you know, he learned that he knows maybe don't be a fool. Don't buy on highs. Wait on lows. But since then, we see only new all-time highs. What would you say to somebody who is, you need to start? There will be a point in time where you need to start. Otherwise, you will miss the party. So what would you say in this time of momentum? How should beginners behave? Because the next all-time high is already in the light, but you need to step in.
Good question. I appreciate it. Let's be clear, though, that there are people, there is a whole generation of people who stepped in the beginning of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. There were 40 million new, according to TD Ameritrade, there are 40 million new retail traders, investors in the market since the pandemic. These are people who were sheltered in place, who lost their jobs, who got a stimulus check, who jumped on the Wall Street bets and the Wall Street memes rally and hype and phenomenon, right? They're here. They're here to stay, right? I'm trying to embrace them because I realize they are the future of the investment community. These are young people. Some of them have made a lot of money trading the Dogecoins and the crypto and the NFTs and the meme stocks. Many of them, and some of them successful. Yet, as we know as educators, Salah, that majority of the people who have jumped into the market over the last 2 years have lost money. 90% of day traders who do without education lose money. So I beg this new community to educate themselves on technical analysis, whether they learn it from you and I, whether they learn it from elsewhere. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's only gambling if you don't educate yourself and become a responsible trader. But given those things, if you reach out to the education community and try and learn at this time, whether you're still out of work, whether you're sheltered in place, whether you're just coming back, whether you want to make some new disposable income, this is an amazing opportunity. Is it a time to jump in? You know, sometimes if the water is cold and you're at the beach and you really need to swim, the only way to do it is rip off the Band-Aid and jump into the water. So, you know, if you buy small, David Green, my partner and friend, always talks about if you're getting into a long-term position, the first amount of stock you buy is your smallest, right? So if you're, and then you always have a plan when you invest in the market. You see how much money are you willing to invest? $10, $100, $1,000, $5,000, all right? And then you pick a stock for good reasons. Your entry point should be based on whether it's a story that you like, not fear of missing out, not FOMO, or whether it's projected good earnings or whatnot. You should do your homework on and use technical analysis to find the entry point. But if you're in this for the long haul, and we know historically that from the beginning of time, whether it was, you know, the Amsterdam stock market in 1675, or whether it was the New York Stock Exchange in 1903, historically markets go up. If you look at any graph in the S&P, in the Dow and whatnot, it goes from the bottom left to the upper right, historically. Along the way, we hit some bumps in the road, crash of 87, financial crisis, whatnot. But historically, those have proved to be only buying opportunities, not selling opportunities. So let's be clear. I believe everyone should jump in. They should invest in stocks and not stuff, but their entry should be their smallest amount. If I'm going to, I have enough to buy 100 shares of a stock or a diversification portfolio, I buy one share, 10 shares to start. And then my entry point, if it continues to go up, I buy more. If it comes down, I buy more. But then I will never be chasing a higher price. Yeah. I will always be trying to get a base. These are the things you learn when you learn fundamental analysis, technical analysis from whoever you learned it. So, you know, I think you just got to jump in. Net, when the recovery story gets teeth, this market, I believe, will go higher.
Many thanks, Peter. This was really crucial. Thanks.
Thank you.
Guys, and I thank you as well. I always learn a lot, so it makes a lot of fun to talk to you guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely a pleasure, guys.
Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, and Saila Boumidi, the head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you so much, and thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.